the special education, that was an issue identified by the two people who were the co-chairs of the Special Education Committee. There is now an actual committee called Special Education. It's separate from our Education Committee, and that is led by Senator Sujata Gadkar Wilcox, who's a legislator and a college professor.
You are hearing from Lieutenant Governor Susan Bicewicz, who recently was on Melissa in the Morning, and she name-dropped a senator who's very familiar to us. She proudly represents the 22nd District, which includes Bridgeport, Trumbull, and Monroe. She's the Deputy Majority Leader, as well as Chair of the Special Education Government Oversight and Regulations Review Committees. Joining us now, State Senator Sujata Gadkar Wilcox. That is twice in 1 week, Senator, that I heard your name dropped, once by the lieutenant governor on this show, and Governor Lamont name dropped you during the press conference following the wrap up of the 2025 session. So
wonderful.
You're quite famous. I don't know.
Well, thank you.
I hope you remember us here on WICC.
Absolutely. Well, I'm trying, you know, it's been a couple of months for me, but it feels like I've already been in the legislature for a few years. There's so many things happening every day. So I'm trying to do what I can, you know, to represent the community. So I very much appreciate that and appreciate being on your show.
Well, we love to have you here, Senator. And tell us, actually, I mean, the last time I had you on, you were newly elected into this seat, and congratulations again. How did your first session go?
No, it was wonderful. It was very fast-paced. You know, I was definitely overwhelmed being on so many committees. But, you know, in the Senate, we have a lot of committees that we're working on. But I think we got a lot of bills, especially around education. We got bills that show an investment in education. And I would say, you know, this is all part of a process where we have to continue the conversation. But this, you know, this bill that we worked on, particularly in special education, is definitely an important launching point, I would say, for one, demonstrating that investment already, but continuing the conversation down the line, because we haven't done this for decades now. You know, when we started out with the committee having listening tours in every part of Connecticut, because we wanted to hear from the community where they are. And we heard that we're at a crisis point, you know, from teachers, from members of boards of education, from superintendents, from students sometimes, from parents that said, you know, we're all struggling in different ways with special education, and we haven't really taken a careful look and looked and created policy that's going to strengthen special education going forward. So I think that's what we've done this year. And so there's a lot of work that went into that, and more work to be done. But you know, I'm proud that this is a real investment in education.
So, Senator, talk to us about the specifics. The average person, I would imagine, is not able to read through every bill, obviously, that passed through the legislature this session. But could you give us maybe some specifics you're most proud of that are included in the policies that passed surrounding special ed?
Yes, absolutely. You know, one, I think it's important that we created the Special Education Committee to begin with, because it's really important that we prioritize education. I mean, we are building our future, and we have both a moral obligation to our students and a legal obligation to meet the needs of all of our students. And that's where this special education bill comes in. The most important, I would say there's three parts to this bill for people to understand. The most important thing is that we're investing in special education, financially investing, and that's what I'm happy to walk through the ways that we're investing. That's important for people to know. And that's including increasing the funding that we've already put into the excess cost formula. And that's how most school districts get reimbursed for money they're spending on special education. Plus, there's additional grant programs in this bill. And so that's really important, because we're also thinking about education as a continuum. So some of that funding extends to early intervention opportunities that will help offset some of the costs, some of the students perhaps being misidentified in special education that can now have their needs served through early intervention programs. Mm. So there's one, there's a real financial investment here. There's also oversight and accountability pieces where we're trying to understand, you know, what one of the problems was, you know, the districts came to us and said these costs are unsustainable, but one, our priority has to be meeting our students' needs, but it has to be sustainable. So we have to understand, well, why did the cost skyrocket, you know, and why are they mid-year, school districts getting an increase? And so we're doing a rate analysis to find out, what is reasonable, and can we consider all the nuances? Because there are students that have so many individualized needs, it's not like a one-to-one comparison. So we're taking the time to do that. We've extended the time until 2028 for the State Department to try to understand what that looks like, along with some, oversight mechanisms like more audits, more, licensing requirements. And then the final piece I would say is there's a lot of work that still needs to be done around special education, where we need to collect data for studies, like for behavioral health placements. When are those happening? Why are those happening? Teacher workload analysis. We have a real crisis for special education when it comes to a pipeline for teachers. So can we try to understand how we better balance that workload, quality of programming, transportation costs overall? So part of what this bill does is also creates, mechanisms where we're able to collect now the data around some of these issues that we, again, identified maybe even years ago, but especially as a result of having this committee and doing our listening sessions and talking to all stakeholders.
So we have Senator Gadkar Wilcox here, who is the chair of the Special Education Committee. And certainly has been credited with playing a huge role in some major changes coming to special education in Connecticut. A couple things that you said there, Senator, that I want to expand upon. Early intervention. I'm going to tell a very fast story, but I promise there's a point to it. My son, he is going to be 7 in July. He is thriving now, going into second grade. He's doing very well. However, that wasn't how he started. He was speech delayed. He really struggled in pre-K and kindergarten, and my husband and I had to pay out of pocket for occupational therapy for him because he needed strength in his hands, his core, what have you. He is now thriving. Now, my husband and I are blessed to have had the money to pay for his OT. And the thing that I guess always bothered me was, A, it's so expensive, but B, the bigger thing was if you go to the public schools and you ask for an evaluation, they continuously would say, well, let's wait another year. And my understanding kind of off the record is that by about third grade, if you identify that there's an issue, then your kid qualifies for services in schools. I don't know why that is. I mean, my husband and I kind of went more on an inkling because I have a younger brother who's on the spectrum. He's on the autism spectrum. So I could see just from my own experience that there was something my son was lacking and he needed the extra services. So we gave it to him. But a lot of parents don't have that perspective. And I'm wondering why we don't, when we talk about early intervention, why don't we get these services to these kids in pre-K, in kindergarten, first grade, before they start to really fail and fall behind by third grade? I don't know if you could speak to that.
No, that's an excellent question, and that's, in fact, part of what we're doing. And that's why I always say we should think about education as a continuum, and you're absolutely right. And I think part of it is we think of these categories as siloed. We think of early education separately from, special education separately from K through 12.
It shouldn't be. They should coincide.
Through higher education. Exactly.
Yes.
We should think of it as a continuum. And that's exactly what we're starting to do. In fact, Senate Bill 1 has both special education and early education interventions in that bill itself. So we're already starting to look at education as a continuum. The special education bill, so there are two, the special education coming out of the committee is in two priority bills. It's Senate Bill 1 and then House Bill 5001. And in those bills as well, there's also, again, for what you're saying, additional funding. So we have this additional seed grant that we're giving, which is basically an upfront allocation beyond what the districts are getting now, an upfront allocation that includes things like tier two interventions. And that's where some of these early interventions are, in fact, what students need. Mm-hmm. We've also delayed the eligibility for a child to be diagnosed as needing special education services from 5 to 8. Because, again, for some speech-related interventions for dyslexia, sometimes that, students are not properly being identified, and then they're kind of misidentified, in fact, for special education, which means they're not getting their needs met because their needs would be met by another early intervention program,
right,
rather than special education. And we're spending the money on special education, which doesn't make sense because it's not meeting their needs. And so once we all also invest more in the early intervention programs, which is where I say we're starting to do this now, I believe we'll see that change, you know, because now we'll have students who we can diagnose properly. We're including the studies around it to make sure that we understand like dyslexia and interventions for dyslexia, interventions for other, other early intervention programs. And we're including that as part of this sort of the SEED grant. Those tier two interventions can now be included where districts are getting money up front to be able to spend on special education. So they can hire teachers, they can hire paraprofessionals, they can invest in other early intervention programs, and it's flexible based on what the district needs. So that's where I say we have a real financial investment. But based on evidence that we've heard from districts, we've heard from advocates, you know, to make sure that these are the needs that we're addressing right now.
Chatting with Senator Gadkar Wilcox of the 22nd District, which includes Trumbull, Bridgeport, and Monroe, and we're talking about special education and what passed during this legislative session for 2025. Senator, another thing I wanted to talk about, something I discuss pretty frequently with people who work in special ed in different districts. Most recently, it was in Stamford, actually. I was talking to a special educator, and she told me that the Board of Ed ultimately had to pass a budget for Stamford with a 31% cut to special education. And that's not just in the form of people, that's resources, programs, what have you. One of the biggest issues that a lot of districts face, which I'm sure you can speak to, is out-of-district costs.
Yep.
So what do we do about that? And is that something that's being addressed in this legislation?
Yes, that's absolutely being addressed. You know, a couple of ways. You know, we realize that there are a number of districts that have said, look, we would love to build our in-district capacity because we're able to serve our students in-district, but we can't right now because we don't have the capacity. And we're spending all, other resources on, you know, particularly on transportation to get students to out-of-district placements. Now, I want to be clear that we also want to make sure those out-of-district placements remain available because there are some students whose needs cannot be met, you know, in district. But there are, to the extent there are students whose needs can be met in district, we have a number of opportunity, you know, sort of financial investments here, including that SEED grant, which allows schools to start building upfront. That's an automatic allocation above what they're already getting with the excess cost grant. That allows school districts to now reinvest in those lines that they may have cut. So paraprofessionals, teachers can be used for any special education purpose, including what we just talked about is the tier two interventions. So anything that's related to special education and the continuum of special education, that funding, that additional funding can be used for that. There's also a competitive in-district grant that came right from the governor's budget so that districts can now start, the districts that are able to and said, look, we are able to serve our students in our district and it would be better for the students, you know, to be able to stay in their district, not to be taking a bus for an hour, you know, where they can be served in their district. There is now a competitive grant as well for that. So there are definitely financial incentives here. That's why I say this is an investment. We're not just talking about special education. We're not just studying it, although we have to have some more data analysis, but we're investing at the same time. So, and that's on top of the increased money that we put into the excess cost. So what we did this year is, in fact, we had to come in to do an emergency certification to put an additional $40 million back in. That was the first thing I did, which was nice, and the bill was signed by the governor, and we did put in that additional $40 million because districts said, look, our spending has just outpaced the investment, even though the investment has increased by the state. And so we included that additional $40 million as the base for excess cost reimbursement, plus this additional SEED grant, plus there's this in-district competitive grant. So there's a lot of opportunity now for districts to start building that programming, to hire back those teachers, to really think about, you know, what's best for students, to think about those early intervention programs, you know, how do we serve the needs of students in a way that's going to be sustainable in the long run.
Senator Gadkar Wilcox, I want to thank you so much for not only being such an important voice in this, in bringing, you know, what sounds like real change down the pipeline, but also not taking your foot off the gas. As you clearly stated, this has been an issue for a long time. A one-time investment's not going to be enough. It sounds like this is something you'll be focused on for as long as you're serving in our legislature, and so we appreciate that. And also just kind of removing the the separation, the stigma, if you will, that special ed should be separate from just, you know, I guess, everyday education. I mean, I think they're, you know, and the governor has spoken to this even, just saying, you know, school districts, I challenge you to look at how much money you're spending in the top office, if you will, and why you feel it's more important to invest in that rather than investing in things like special education. You know, it's not just the state, certainly, but at the local level, there needs to be sort of pull back the lens and see what we're spending in our school districts. And why is there this misconception that paraprofessionals and special ed are the first on the chopping block every time there's a budget cut? Why is that? And then people wonder, why are my kids struggling? Why are we failing as a district? Because we are not prioritizing something as important as early intervention, special education, and understanding who is really being served by that. And so I want to thank you for highlighting that and for taking this role and for sharing all this on WICC. We really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much. And I completely, my mom's a paraprofessional. And so, you know, she really loves those students and the students need her in the classroom. And we definitely need to do more to support our paraprofessionals as well. You're absolutely right. And we have supports in here for families too. So there's an ombudsman piece, you know, there's other grants for families as well. And so that's what's really important. You're absolutely right. We need to look at this more holistically, education to begin with. And you know, this is a starting point. So I definitely look forward to continuing the process and coming back whenever, you know, there are any questions, Melissa, I'm happy to come back on, you know, to the show to talk about any legislation.
Fantastic. Yeah, I appreciate it. And we'd love to have you back on. Senator Gadkar Wilcox, thank you so much. And we will talk again really soon.